There was a day when the doctrine of the church ruled the pulpits. Now it is rarely preached. Coming up next, we ask some tough questions about this trend.
It's very, very common in America today to hear someone say, I don't want none of that theology stuff. I don't want none of that doctrine. But when you say you don't want theology, those are two words, theos and logos, in the Greek language. You're saying, I don't want a word from God, because that's what that means. Also, when you say you don't want doctrine, Hebrew word means teaching. I don't want teaching. I want all the benefits of eternal life and salvation, but I don't want to hear a word from God. Everything that we do must be founded upon doctrine. Not just because I use the word doctrine does not mean it's something men teach. Jesus taught doctrine. He taught truth. And that's where we need to stand.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with best-selling author and commentator Jan Markell. Jan is joined today by co-host Eric Barger to talk about some of the danger signs of a postmodern church. Eric Barger is a frequent guest and co-host for this program. He's widely recognized in the area of Christian apologetics and discernment ministry. Eric is also the founder and spokesman of Take a Stand Ministries. At Take a Stand, he confronts both the culture and the church, focusing on the cults, world religions, the occult, spiritual warfare, and unbiblical trends. In this hour, Jan and Eric look at some of the unbiblical trends found in today's church. Now here is Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program that looks at news and views from a decidedly biblical perspective. And do you ever wonder what just might have gone haywire in your church, once so very solid and gospel-centered? And you hear things referenced on this program and discussions about all sorts of things that don't really work very well, from the seeker-sensitive movement of the health and wealth gospel to the emergent church and much, much more. Today we are expanding some of the conversation. Actually, we were engaged in it last weekend as Eric Barger and I discussed a few of these issues. We're going to continue today. And I did a program here on Understanding the Times Radio. It was some years ago now, and I was actually taking callers back then. I threw out the question about the listeners having to have left a church in recent years, and the percentage of callers reporting yes was staggering. So many in the church are discerning and could tell that a basic gospel message that was once front and center at their church was in these more recent times being compromised. And we'll talk about some of these and related issues today on Understanding the Times Radio. And Eric Barger returns to be in studio with me again. Eric, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Not quite sure where to start, but why don't we start with a definition of the term postmodernism, because that's going to play into how this conversation plays out today.
Well, this is one of those topics, as you know, that's so big. It's like a river. You jump in and swim for a little while. When you get tired, you get out because it's so much material. But for those who never heard a definition of what postmodernism is, and of course, we say emergent church often, but postmodernism is really what is leading the way here in this. Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, says, a theory that involves a radical reappraisal of modern assumptions about culture, identity, history, and language. Now, if that's going on in the church, that means that we have the postmoderns doubting everything that we've been built on, our traditions, but more so our biblical values. They're doubting the Bible and they're trying to figure out maybe it's just not as trustworthy as we've been saying it to be. But that's really the core of the problem, as you know, Jan. I mean, it's all about the Bible itself. And what we see going on in the churches today, everything from the shack to the emergent church movement to Chrislam, all these things, this wouldn't be happening if we had our Bibles open and we were willing to say, that's God's word, I'm going to follow it no matter what.
Okay, I want to go back to that program you and I did about three and a half years ago now, and out of it came your DVD, Divorced from the Church. How does that play in here?
Well, I think it really plays because those who are willing to hang on to the Bible have watched churches disintegrate in front of them. While the church building's still there, there's still people going there, there's still a pastor, but the value system and especially the doctrines, what they're built on, have gone away, and postmodernism has taken its place. Emergent philosophy, sometimes contemplative prayers, spiritual formation, mysticism, New Age thinking has come in. So these things, the doctrines of the faith, don't matter anymore in postmodern Christianity.
Okay, then what would be some bullet points describing the perils of postmodernism?
Well, in postmodernism really is built to suit age group maybe from 16 to 45, and I'm being very general there, but it's those folks. And you'll notice that there certainly is a gap in a lot of churches at that age group. And in the beginning, I believe the emergent church movement sprung out of this, trying to figure out how they could bring that age group of people back to church. But suddenly the doctrines of the faith were up for grabs. And when the doctrines of the faith start going away and you start to allegorize things that are absolute literal stories from the Bible, this is what's happened to us. So that age group, they're told to trust nothing. They believe that relativism rules, and insisting that nothing could be absolute, even though that in itself is an absolute when somebody says that to you. But this is really what the postmoderns are faced with, that kind of thinking. They discount history, tradition, our values. Postmodernism, by definition, is skeptical or maybe even rejecting all the past and all the standards from the past. They abandon past orthodoxies. They want to do church a new way. Oftentimes we hear of them sitting in circles, in easy chairs, and everybody gets an opinion about what they think Christianity should be, or about what they think a particular idea is saying, or even something from Scripture. Everybody gets an opinion. Everybody gets a say. It's all about life stories. It's a conversation. They say yes to that, but they say no to doctrine. And the doctrines of the faith are not being taught to these young people, primarily people who really don't have a grip on what church is all about. Many of them have been anti-church and have come into the church and said, oh, if this is what it's all about, I can handle it. Just don't tell me that I must be born again, or that I've got to believe in the virgin birth, or I must believe in the bodily resurrection, or any of those value systems. So this is how this thing is coming to us. It's being introduced in marriage seminars and financial seminars and books and workbooks and video series, but pastors aren't preaching the doctrines of the faith that are going to hold people in good stead in times of trouble. And slowly but surely, these things that the church has been built on for 20 centuries now are evaporating.
You have uncovered some information about a conference coming up that really concerns you, and I went over and looked at this Vision 2020 website and some of the information there. Why don't you talk to us about that?
Well, this is a conference being put together by the Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches, and I want to say up front that my first remembrance of actually hearing the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ was in 1967, when I was still a long-haired, hippie, dope-smoking rock musician in high school. That happened in a Grace Brethren church, so this bothers me. It hurts me. There are 3,300 Grace Brethren churches in the world, thereabouts, and Vision 2020 South is their conference. And what they're going to do here is take their conference attendees not once or twice, but three times to a Hindu temple. They're going to go to a Tibetan Buddhist monastery and spiritual center. They're going to visit a Muslim mosque. Now, in my opinion, one of the most demon-infested places in all the world is a Hindu temple. Having come out of the New Age movement, I can tell you that that's part of the thing that has helped the New Age movement to become westernized and come here. It's the idea that we're going to get this Eastern mystic philosophy, we're going to get wisdom and revelation, and we're going to have spiritual experiences. And Hindu temples, I believe, are swirling with the demonic. Yet these folks are going to take their people there. I think this is a dangerous thing. What if they have unsaved people going there? Mm-hmm. What if people going there don't understand the spiritual danger of a place like that, or the implications of that? I know that somebody has a good heart about this. They have an idea that they're going to maybe make the people see things evangelistically in a different way, if indeed evangelism is the goal of their thinking. But I think this is wrong-headed.
Folks, if you join me late, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I am Jan Mark Hill, and this program tries to help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and be a watchman on the wall. My co-host Eric Barger and I are trying to do exactly that for this first couple of segments anyway, and I'm going back to Vision 2020, the title of this particular conference. By the way, Eric, why is it 2020? I mean, doesn't it meet again until 2020 or what?
No, I think they're referring to eyesight, 2020.
Okay, all right. So I visited the website, Vision 2020 South. Again, what you said is very true. They're going to help attendees to expand their religious worldview. apparently via Hinduism, and then help expand the religious worldview some more via Islam, and do it again via Buddhism. And then we get to some issues about Jesus and the Quran. We'll do that a little bit later. But anyway, your concern is that some of these venues, can I say, crawling with demons? Would that be correct?
Oh, I think that's accurate. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't think that the church should have a good understanding of these religions. These are the three of the other major world religions. There's five of them in the world, and three of them are Hinduism, Islam, and Buddhism. We should understand them, but I don't think we have to go into their midst to get there. I think we can do this from a Christian viewpoint, and we should get information about these things from a Christian viewpoint. I often tell people, look, don't go out and buy books on Satanism written by Satanists. Find out what the church, what good leaders, what people who have been called to discernment and polemics and apologetics inside the church are saying about these things, and then get the viewpoint of what Scripture says about it above all, what the Bible says and how the Bible says we should operate concerning these things. When Paul went to Athens, he preached to a lot of people who were pagans, no doubt about it. But did he participate? Did he go into the temples? For example, I know for a fact that this particular group, the Grace Brethren Churches, it may sound like I'm picking on them, but this is another fellowship that is now biting the dust theologically and going toward postmodern and emergent thought. But they have done this before. They have taken their youth group, for example, went to a mosque in Pittsburgh. The girls were told to wear the traditional Muslim head covering. They were told to take their shoes off. They were to follow all the things that that Muslims are told to do in the mosque. Now, I understand a little bit of the culture of this, and I've talked to a lot of missionaries along the way, but again, I think this is wrong-headed to take this approach. Let's learn about these religions and the cults and all of the other pagan activities, but do it from a biblical standpoint. Do it from a standpoint of this is what's right, the Bible, and this is what's wrong, all this other stuff. That's not what's going to go on here.
Last week, Eric, you and I had a short discussion on things emergent because I brought up the fact that I headquarter here out of the emergent capital of America, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. We've got several emergent leaders here, and it's become a very, very troubling issue for a lot of Christians who have loved ones who get into this stream. I think a good definition for this emerging movement is their belief that the church is broken and a new thing actually must emerge. Therefore, the term the emergent or the emerging church. First question, are emergent and emerging the same thing?
No. In their definitions, emerging would be the style of the way they do church. At least this is what I'm getting from a couple of the authors. Emergent is more of, what they believe, or in this case, what they might believe, because that's what it comes down to. They might believe something. In postmodern thinking, it's all up for grabs, and you make your own rules up as you go along. We've all heard these things, and this really comes back from the 60s, to do your own thing, and if mm-hmm. it feels good, do it. This is now what we're seeing inside of the churches.
Do you feel this is the front and center issue in church issues? When we take the whole genre of things that are going wrong in the church today, do you feel this is the most urgent issue?
I guess I would have a jaded opinion about this. What I say may not be what the next guy thinks, but certainly it has been for me. I'm very disturbed and concerned about what I see going on, especially when you see people who have sunk their time and their life and put their family underneath the leadership of a church, and suddenly the whole idea of what the church is and what we believe is now jerked out from underneath them, even after they've sunk lots of their tithe money into a church. People are feeling disenfranchised and disfellowshipped, and a lot of people I talk to, they say, look, I can't find a good church. I'm staying home. We hear this again and again. This goes back to the conversation we had, divorced from church.
Right. You actually made a DVD out of that. And we carry that, folks. Just go to olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our store. And the DVD is Divorced from the Church. What kind of feedback do you have from that DVD, Eric? And you write about these things. I mean, you write it on the website and your newsletters and all that about folks who do, in fact, feel detached from the church. All sorts of words, separated, cut off. In your case, you use the word divorced. So all sorts of adjectives can go in there. Help us understand that a little bit better.
Well, when you wave a flag, in other words, when you present a DVD or a seminar, you speak at a conference, which I spoke at the Olive Tree Spring Conference, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, and did that message.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
When you do that, then suddenly people come out of the woodwork with their story. They want to talk. And one of the reasons we did that those radio shows, and eventually it became a conference message, was because I believe there's a lot of people out there, and you believed it too. We believe that there are people out there who think they're all alone, who think they're the only ones experiencing this. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you right now, if you have felt disenfranchised, if you feel doctrinally all alone, and you think the church has somehow abandoned and moved away from you, you're not alone. Thankfully, it's not every church and every pastor. Amen, Jan?
Yeah. And folks, if you want to write in and express that, and I asked for that last weekend, and I'm going to probably do that again here today. If you want to write in and just give us a paragraph, give me a paragraph on your experience of being divorced from the church, I'm sure you didn't want to do that, and I'm sure your heart remains wherever it was, but circumstances came along, probably the kind of theology that you couldn't quite coexist with. Just write jan@olivetreeviews.org and give me a paragraph, and in forthcoming programs, I'll even read some of those on air. I won't use your name. I want to go back to this Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches. More than 3,300 churches worldwide. Eric, you have, going back to 1967, you have some experience with this particular denomination. I actually am not even sure if in the Twin Cities we have one here, but be that as it may, this is the denomination that apparently sponsors this Vision 2020. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Have you had any interaction with the leaders of this movement?
Inside the Grace Brethren churches, I have had one very good friend and some others I've been talking to who are trying to make some corrections and stand against it. In fact, in our second segment today, mm-hmm. we'll interview one of them. But as far as the people who are pushing the other side, who are trying to bring postmodernism in and emergent thought and trying to cooperate with the other world religions, I've also had some interaction, and we'll talk about that in the second segment too. So we'll definitely get there. But, I want to point something out, Jan. I think mm-hmm. it's really important. Now, I don't want to miss getting this on air. The postmodern transformation that's going on, if you question it, you're not tolerated. The mindset is, this is where we're going, and if you want to go, that's fine, but if you don't try to stop us. And I think what we need to say, and I wish I could be more encouraging to people today and really give a really uplifting word, but the truth is, by the time it's all done, by the time it's all said and done, as we walk further into the end times, those who believe the Bible and say that Jesus is the only way and hang on to the truth and insist on what the scripture says, we will be marginalized to the place where we'll be called cultists yeah. by those in our midst in the church, by other people who claim to be Christians, who are actually operating under a veneer that looks like it's Christian, but they're not following the gospel, not following the Bible, so how could we call it Christian? And eventually we'll be called cultists. That's what's coming. I don't know when or how bad. I just know that that's already kind of being said. Those things are already coming to the surface in conversations I have. Believe me, people look at me like I'm a Neanderthal when I bring up the Bible and say that it holds the only truth and we can't trust these other religions.
Tell us about who you're going to be talking to when we come back in a couple of minutes.
Well, my friend John Haller he's part of the leadership, I should say, of the Columbus, Ohio Bible Prophecy Conference. And John has been a longtime elder inside the Grace Brethren Church. He has just resigned. He'll tell that story. And he's also on the board of Grace Seminary, which is their seminary of their denomination. So he's had his finger on the pulse of this for a long time. And some brave people like John are making their stand. And, you know, as John has made his stand, the word has gotten out. And he's pretty amazed how many people now are coming alongside him saying, we feel the same way. And we didn't know there were others that felt the same way that we do.
Okay, folks, just a word here about Understanding the Times Radio, and we continue to expand our outreach. Please remember us prayerfully and financially. We are now on another outlet in Minneapolis-St. Paul area, AM 1030 WCTS, and that is Saturday 9 a.m. and Sunday 9 a.m. That is the outreach of the Fourth Baptist Church and Central Seminary in the Twin Cities, but we are on over 600 radio stations across the country. That's an incredible financial responsibility, and thank you to those of you who are participating with us. And if you can't do that financially, financially. I know you're praying for us, and we do appreciate that as well. We're going to be coming back in just exactly 2 minutes. Remember, this program is posted to my website on Saturday, and that's olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. I hope you'll check out that website. It is one-stop shopping for you, all sorts of topics, products you can buy. Coming back in 2 minutes. Don't go away.
If you're enjoying the kind of material you're hearing today, you can find this program and many more like it on our website. Understanding the Times Radio is one of the nation's most popular weekend programs because of the uncompromising message of Jan Markell. Please check out our website for the daily news headlines that keep you informed about our times according to a biblical worldview. That web address is olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. We'll be back with more Inconvenient Truth from Jan and Eric in just a moment.
Mark your calendar for Saturday, October 5th, Understanding the Times 2013. If you're a new radio listener, you have a special invitation as attendees come from all across America. This year, our special guests include Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Dr. Ron Rhodes, and Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily. We look at apologetics, current events, end-time prophecy, and the inconvenient truth. There's no cost and no registration is necessary. We'll gather at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, a southwest suburb of Minneapolis. For all the details, click on the 2013 conference tab at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or call our office during business hours at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Make your plans now to join us on October 5th for Understanding the Times 2013, as together we'll discern the times and contend for the faith.
Understanding the Times Radio has been on the air 13 years, and over those years we have seen many changes in the culture and the church. One of our ministry strengths is keeping people informed about current events that affect what the Bible says will happen in the last days. We do that through a radio program, a free print newsletter, electronic e-alerts, daily headlines that we can send to your phone, notepad, or computer. If you are interested in keeping up with the times through a biblical worldview, check out our website for all the free ways we provide this information to you. That address, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Monday through Friday, 9 to 4 Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444.
I think, again, the most important thing is re-examine what we're based on. Go back and look at what we are, who we are as Christians. And you begin to teach those things rather than all these other things that are being called Christian around us. I've got a couple facts I think will really illustrate this. Just listen to this. According to the Pew survey, 65% of U.S. adults mix contradictory beliefs, such as blending Christianity with beliefs in reincarnation, astrology, and the presence of spiritual energy in physical objects. 24% of Americans profess belief in a variety of Eastern and New Age beliefs. 22% of Christians say they believe in reincarnation.
Eric Barger from Take a Stand Ministries is joining Jan today. They continue now their discussion about some unbiblical trends emerging in the church.
Well, welcome back to the program. Just a short reset here, talking with Eric Barger, who sometimes is my co-host and sometimes is a guest, and today he's a little bit of both, I think. And we've been talking, first segment anyway, we visited a conference that's kind of upcoming called the Vision 2020. And how would you like to attend a conference where you're going to expand your religious worldview IQ, explore Hinduism, expand your religious worldview IQ, explore Islam, do the same for Buddhism, get into Jesus and the Quran? And some of these are streams of thought that work their way into the church and that make stable churches unstable. And in some cases, people who get into this stream are going to be bringing in into the church, the postmodern element, the emergent element. We talk on Understanding the Times Radio about varying kinds of apologetics now and then. Not all apologetics are sound. Movements like the health and wealth, name it and claim it, we've got all sorts of things that we really need to take a close look at. And both last week and this week, we've been looking carefully at some emergent church issues. And we've considered Vision 2020. Eric, is there anything else you want to say about this before we move on to a short interview you have?
Jan, we'll get into some depth as soon as we play this clip from my friend John Haller. And I think it'll really help folks to understand the depth of where this is going when you start talking about other world religions and how you can coincide with.
Okay, how does this particular gentleman fit in with what we have been talking about today?
He's been an elder in the Grace Brethren denomination mm-hmm. for many years. His dad was a pastor and also was a national leader in the denomination. And John is also on the board of Grace Seminary. So he's got his finger on the pulse.
And obviously he is probably heartbroken as to what's happening to this particular Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches.
You're going to hear it when you hear him, yes.
Okay, why don't we play that?
On the line with me now from Columbus, Ohio, is my friend John Haller. John is a longtime Christian. He's also a practicing attorney, but more so, he's an apologist, he's a discerner, and he's the founder, or one of the founders, of the Columbus Bible Prophecy Conference. He and his wife Pam reside in the Columbus area, and by the way, he's a guy I really respect, I love, and I'm happy to call him my friend. John, tell us some things that have been taking place recently. I know that you've been very concerned about the encroachment of postmodernism and emergent philosophy into the church. You've written extensively on spiritual formation and mysticism that's being served up as normal to Christians, but these stands have cost you, haven't they?
Well, they really have, Eric. As you know from the time we spent together recently in California, I had really reached a point of dispute in the church that my wife and I attend. I've been a longtime elder there, including time where I served as head of the board of elders. I've taught a large adult Bible fellowship in the church. My wife is the co-leader of the church's main ministry outreach to women, to teach women the truths of the Word of God. And things have changed in the church recently. We've got a new vision statement. That, and coupled with concerns about the preaching and what I perceive to be a lack of a clear presentation of the gospel, I had expressed those concerns to my fellow elders, and they determined that because I had expressed those concerns that I should no longer be an elder. We had a meeting about it, and following the meeting, I resigned because I could see that nothing was going to change. It was a gut-wrenching decision that we had to make. My wife and I have been a part of that church since 1985. She helped start the Tapestry Women's Ministry. She's resigned from her ministry. I've resigned from mine. I was told that I could no longer teach the adult Bible fellowship that I was teaching. That adult Bible fellowship has been disbanded. That adult Bible fellowship had been in existence in the church. I had taught it for about 14 years, and before that, it had been in existence for almost 20 years. So we've left the church. We're currently sort of helping some of the other people who've decided to leave the church. We've started a Bible study on Sunday nights, and we'll see where the Lord takes us from there.
Well, as we've talked about, you tried to bring correction and change. You did the right thing, and you stood first and foremost for the Word of God. These things cost us, but I know there are people listening right now who are experiencing these same kind of things in their churches, and we have covered this on more than one occasion. Jan and I had a couple of programs 3-4 years ago now, I guess 2-3 years ago, come to think of it, called Divorced from Church, where we knew we were dealing with trying to encourage saints who had been disfellowshipped or felt like the church had moved away from the Bible and they could no longer stand with their church. And a lot of people out there in these shoes. And folks, I know the situation in John's church. We're not going to mention the name of the church, but it's a church of a couple thousand people. This is not a small church in the country. We're talking about a major metropolitan church that has moved this direction and basically has brought in what amounts to either a half gospel or another gospel, whichever way you put it. I should tell folks that they're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, and this is Eric Barger. My guest is John Haller. He's been a longtime member of a particular church in the Columbus, Ohio area where he was an elder. He has just resigned. Also, he's been a leader there and a Sunday school teacher, leading a Bible fellowship, teaching people about prophecy. John is a part of the Columbus Bible Prophecy Conference. By the way, you can find John on Facebook, and you just search for the Columbus Bible Prophecy Conference on Facebook, and you will come across John and his teaching and be able to track him that way. That's a good way for you to contact him. You can also find some of John's teaching on YouTube at Koinonia ABF. And if you just search in YouTube, and many of you know how to do that, go to Koinonia ABF and you'll see the videos and be able to enjoy and really understand why I believe John is one of the best, most thorough teachers I've heard on these type of issues. John, our time is going to go away from us. In fact, it already has, but that's okay. Let's keep going for a minute here. And I know you've talked a lot about spiritual formation, and I think this may have been the first burr in the saddle for those in your church who were trying to bring your church into the postmodernism and the emergent ideas. And when you begin to speak about spiritual formation, you know, talk about making Islam normal in the church, what is going on in the spiritual formation stuff is we're making mysticism normal in the church. And you've written a terrific paper on that. I'm going to have it on my website. We'll have it on my homepage at ericbarger.com for anybody who wants to download it. They can go there and get it. But talk to just for a second. Give us a little capsule about your concerns about spiritual formation.
Well, I serve on the board of a seminary, and one of the things that I became concerned about was a class that we're offering on spiritual formation. Lighthouse Trails had identified our institution as one of the contemplative institutions, which really at this point includes most Christian colleges and seminaries. There are a few that seem to have been able to resist it. And so I'd expressed some concerns about it. I was told that I really didn't need to worry about it because we're just doing the same thing as Dallas and Talbot. So I looked at the Dallas Seminary website. That only confirmed my suspicions. I looked into the issue from a pretty broad perspective, but I have concerns that the spiritual formation stuff is coming into the seminaries, and what comes into the seminaries will eventually translate down into what's coming into the churches. I think the church is wide open for this. It's very difficult for us to, for you to go into any Christian bookstore now. If you're very discerning, it's very difficult to go into a Christian bookstore at all. But to see the different things that are coming in and to see people promoting books throughout the evangelical church, Richard Foster's Celebration of Disciplines, books by Dallas Willard, Renovari's Study Bible, things by spiritual formation proponents such as Ruth Haley Barton and Mindy Caligulari, both of whom came out of the Willow Creek Church. It's just this thing that's spreading throughout the church, which is really bringing Catholic mysticism and contemplative prayer into Christian churches. And it's not scriptural. It's not biblical, and it's invading the church like a flood. I mean, I can take you to churches that are most people would consider solid evangelical Bible teaching churches, or at least used to be, and you'll find a labyrinth in the church courtyard, a prayer labyrinth where they engage in Catholic mysticism and things that are not taught in the scriptures. And people just gloss over it. Sometimes introduction of something like that is the first symptom that there's something wrong. But I also know from talking to graduates of Dallas and some of these other seminaries, and these are people who are professors or pastors, professors at other seminaries or pastors are very concerned about the direction of a lot of our evangelical seminaries that are allowing this mysticism and its related problems to come in through spiritual formation courses. So I've looked at it. It's a thing that I'm currently trying to work through with some other people. It's an area of deep concern of mine, and I see it coming in to churches. I think you would be hard-pressed to go to almost any evangelical mega church and not find a number of copies among the pastoral staff of Richard Foster's Celebration of Disciplines or something by Henry Now, Thomas Merton, or Brennan Manning, or other Roman Catholic mystics. It's just everywhere.
It is. That's what I was going to say. The proliferation of it is out there. And, you know, the old markers that we used to say, well, this is safe and this isn't, those things have been taken out of the way. If a book is by a particular publisher, it used to mean that was going to be a good book, an evangelical, a truly evangelical Bible-believing book. That's not true anymore in the world of Christian publishing. It's certainly not true in our churches. It's not true in our seminaries. This is why the church needs to test everything and hold on to that which is good and avoid every kind of evil, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. And it's certainly representative of the day that we live in today. I will say, your paper on spiritual formation is so complete. The footnoting, the work you did on it, so terrific. I encourage people to go there. We will put it on my homepage at ericbarger.com. It's a wake-up, I'm telling you, for people who have never heard about this or are not familiar with that term, spiritual formation, but it is the mystical end of the emergent church movement. Once again, my guest has been John Haller from Columbus, Ohio, from the Columbus Bible Prophecy Conference. You can find John on Facebook by just searching for that conference, the Columbus Bible Prophecy Conference, or by going to YouTube and searching for Koinonia ABF is where you'll find John's teaching, Koinonia ABF. John, you're a great brother. I'm so glad we met. I appreciate our friendship, but I really appreciate the ministry and the warnings that you're sounding. And if you out there have been marginalized in your church because you've been a resistor, John understands that. He and his wife have just gone through that. And, you know, it seems like those who want to bring emergent philosophy in will do whatever it takes to make it happen. They will undermine your organizational ability. They'll undermine your ability to oppose them. And to do this, often groups even close their churches. So the old Bible believers are scattered, and then they'll plant a new church with an emergent or a postmodern type of leadership involved. So this is what we see. This is the day we live in. And my encouragement to each and every one of you and to my friend John is to hang in there and to keep your eyes on what the scripture says above what any man says. We want you to take what we teach here on radio and test it and make sure that it approves by the word of God. That is the whole key. And of course, that's where the church's mindset must be in the day we live in. The remnant church is going to keep the Bible open and make sure that you believe the truth of what the scripture says, nothing but the truth.
But, you know, the role of an elder in a church is not only to teach sound doctrine, but it's to also refute false teaching. And I think too often in our churches, refuting false teaching, which is really involving not only apologetics, but sometimes some polemics to show why that teaching is false in the light of scripture, becomes a very unpopular position to take. And people who do take that position, even though they're doing it out of a concern for the truth of the Word of God and the purity of the teaching about Jesus, get knocked down, marginalized, and eventually driven out of the church.
That's really well spoken, John, and I really appreciate it. I hope the folks hear those warnings and hear that wisdom as well. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Eric, appreciate you very much. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Eric, you want to explain what folks have just heard? Have you any comments on it?
Jan, I hope that people like John, other seminary board members and elders and people in positions of authority in churches will begin to stand up and take the same position John does, that mm-hmm. the Bible is what we have to come back to, and they'll begin to make those changes that are needed in some of the churches that have slipped off into postmodernism.
Okay, I'm going back to this Vision 2020 because this summer, again, this Grace Brethren Fellowship Conference, Vision 2020, and we didn't cover this earlier, there will be a two-day workshop called Jesus and the Quran. And it was doing the research of Vision 2020 conference being held the next day in Atlanta that you discovered that the same seminar was being presented in your neck of the woods there in the Seattle area, Eric. Talk to us about this.
Well, it was last weekend, and it just so happens that I could go. And it was up at Seattle Pacific University at the church right next to their campus at First Free Methodist Church in Seattle. And Jesus and the Quran, see, this is a product mm-hmm. of the Grace Brethren Church and of one of their churches in Atlanta, close by where the big conference is going to be held this summer, their Vision 2020 conference. And so we went to it. One of my board members, Steve Momquist, he and I went to it and sat all evening Friday and all day Saturday and took lots of notes, discussed with the leaders, had very congenial conversations with a couple of the leaders. We disagreed completely, but, you know, we talked to them. And, you know, I can tell you that other than the theology, their bibliology, their Christology, their soteriology, and their eschatology, Well, it wasn't very bad.
Okay.
Other than that. But it, frankly, I believe it was dangerous. I can tell you some of the other problems, but those are the areas that I saw real problems in. The first thing is their premise. The very premise of this thing is Allah is Jehovah, mm-hmm. and the Jesus of the Bible is the Isa, or mm-hmm. the Jesus spoken of in the Quran. And, you know, people out there might know that Jesus is spoken of in the Quran. Do you know he's spoken of 97 times, but he's never made to be divine? He's a great prophet. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is God incarnate walking in the flesh of a man. So we have a different Jesus. The Apostle Paul was clear about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 when he warned the Corinthians that others would come along preaching a different Jesus with a different gospel and a different spirit. By the way, I brought that passage up to some of the leadership of Jesus in the Quran. It wasn't really received very well. Eyes kind of rolled, you know, a smile was made to be put on their face, but I knew it wasn't sincere. And they kept insisting that their viewpoint was, of course, the right one.
Eric, what are some quick bullet points that you took away from that little session you visited?
Well, Jan, I know because of time, I'll put all this on my website, all these bullet points in my more complete notes. But the first evening, they disarmed the opposition and they ran down apologetics and says, oh, apologetics doesn't work to win anybody. They gave us all a Quran. It was a very liberal Quran, by the way, and they tried to use it to prove that Jesus in the Quran is the word of God. I pointed out some more scripture to them at that point. They told one of my board members that you couldn't use the Bible to witness to Muslims, and then they quoted a story from the Gospel of Thomas, which is heretical. They abandon everything that seems to be truth for everything that might be nebulous. I asked if the Quran was inspired. They said no, but then they begin to substantiate things from it. And then all four of the speakers that stood up, they told story after story after story, but never presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm. And they used kingdom circles to do it. And that's something, if you don't know what it is, folks, you need to find out. And we'll talk about that at some future point. But with time running out, we'll have this on my website.
Okay, so this was a conference, and this was actually sponsored by this particular denomination we're troubled about, the Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches.
That's where these folks come from. That's their home. This conference I went to was actually in a First Free Methodist church.
Eric, our special report's coming up in 60 seconds. Talk to us about it.
Dr. Ron Cruz is terrific. You want to stick around and listen to him, folks. He's courageous. He broke the story that the U.S. Army, that is the Army Reserve, had people actually giving seminars saying that evangelicals were religious extremists. We actually headed the list. So you want to hear this. We talked about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
This is the update right from the horse's mouth.
Tremendous. Thank you. Thanks for doing that. Folks, we are going to take a 60-second timeout. When we come back, our special report. Stick with us. Don't touch that dial.
This program may be new to your Christian radio station, so we've been promoting a free gift to all those who are new to Understanding the Times Radio. If you've never contacted us before, we would like to send you a free DVD of Dr. Mark Hitchcock's message on America in Prophecy. Or you may choose a message on heaven by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Both messages were delivered at our Understanding the Times conference last fall. For your free gift, please call 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. If you would like to receive a podcast of this program or any of Jan Markell's printed commentaries, sign up for them on our website, olivetreeviews.org. Write to us at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or phone 763-559-4444.
And yet, this is the person who is labeling all people of faith, and particularly, number one, evangelical Christians, as extremists.
That's coming up next.
Understanding the Times Radio is a listener-supported ministry that relies solely upon our audience to help us maintain the cost of bringing this program into your area. We don't sell commercials, nor do we do any other solicitation other than once during this program when we ask you to consider becoming a financial partner with us. As you listen from week to week, you know the value of discerning our times through a biblical perspective in order to prepare the church for what the Bible calls the last days. Many churches have decided to avoid the kinds of themes we present because they're afraid afraid it will offend some, but we feel it's important to keep people informed. If you agree with us, would you consider becoming a financial partner? We want to continue to come into your area with this weekly digest of Understanding the Times, but we need your help to do so. If you'd like to donate safely online, go to olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You could also call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
They've now come out that the Army is teaching the military members that Christians, period, Catholics, evangelical Christians, are the same as Al-Qaeda and are extremists. Think about how insane this is, where they're saying Catholics, evangelical Christians, are listed right beside Al-Qaeda, and this is just all calmly being done.
Are just concerned that an official representative of the United States Army, an equal opportunity officer, listed evangelical Christians, Roman Catholics, Jews as religious extremists. It's like anybody who is a person of faith in the mind of this equal opportunity officer is an extremist.
This is a special report from Understanding the Times Radio. Every week, Jan Markell concludes her broadcast with a report that answers questions about themes currently in the news. Here now is our report for this week.
Well, welcome back. And we talked last week about the marginalization of Christians, calling solid Christians evil, suggesting evangelical Christians are really terrorists. And as I said last week, I'm surprised that evangelicals were not suspected as the ones behind the Boston bombings. Well, Eric has conducted a very short interview here with Dr. Ron Cruz, expanding this discussion. Let's head right into that.
Well, on the line with me is Dr. Ron Cruz. He serves as the Executive Director of the Chaplain Alliance for Religious Liberty. He's a 28-year career Army chaplain. He's also served in pro-life and pro-family organizations and is an advocate for all of those things. He's also served as a senior pastor for the New Covenant Community Church, and he was a state representative in Georgia in the Georgia General Assembly from 1993 to 1998. So you've done a lot in your life, Ron, haven't you?
Rather eclectic career, but God has been good. We are grateful.
Well, I appreciate your service. Sounds like that you've been on the front lines. And before I let this get away, I do want folks to know they can find you at chaplainalliance.org.
That's correct.
Chaplainalliance.org. And appreciate the work that you're doing. And you've broken, I think, a really important story here that we want to talk to you about. Tell us how you first came to know about the Army Reserve training sessions that listed evangelical Christians as religious extremists.
Well, a very brave non-commissioned officer who was an attendee at that briefing told the person who gave the briefing that he was offended because he considered himself an evangelical Christian and did not like being in the same column. As a matter of fact, the number one entity of religious extremism, even beating out the Muslim Brotherhood. And the briefer at the time just said, I'm sorry you're offended, but that was pretty much it. And then he pressed the issue and asked to get a copy of the slides, asked that they consider redoing the briefing, asked for a public apology. None of that came forth. And so this NCO then, on the encouragement of several others who were in the briefing, then sent the slides that eventually wound up in my hands. And so we thought that this was important enough that the American public needed to know. And let me just say also that we first sent copies of the slides to several people at the Department of the Army level, asked them if they knew anything about this and if anything was going to be done to correct it. And we were basically told this was an isolated incident, it was apologized for, nothing more is going to be done. And we thought that was unsatisfactory. So we released this briefing to the public and are just concerned that an official representative of the United States Army, an equal opportunity officer, listed evangelical Christians, Roman Catholics, Jews as religious extremists. It's like anybody who is a person of faith in the mind of this equal opportunity officer is an extremist.
Well, interestingly, as you look at that slide, and I will post that slide, by the way, to my website at ericbarger.com. We'll put that on the homepage for a little while so folks can look at it. But and it's all over the place, folks. You can find this on the internet and other places. This has become a worldwide story. I first read about it in the UK. UK Daily News, and of course it's been on Fox News. Todd Starnes has done a great job of writing about it, but they list Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and the KKK on that same slide, but it's headed by evangelical Christians. So we're all in the same camp. That's exactly what this particular lady who was giving this presentation was saying. And interestingly, as you told me on the phone the other day as we were talking about this, she is the equal opportunity specialist.
That is correct. And so that's one of the ironies of this story in that the Equal Opportunity Office is in the military just to be a mediator between those who believe that they have been offended in some way because of their race or religion. And yet this is the person who is labeling all people of faith, and particularly, number one, evangelical Christians, as extremists. And so the very person whose job it is to be a mediator between command and those who believe they have been slighted in some way because of their faith or because of their race or gender, this is the one who is now labeling evangelical Christians as the number one extremist group in America.
Yeah, what hope would a person have if that's a person you have to go to say, I have a grievance about my religious beliefs and the way I'm being treated for them?
That's exactly right. So what we are asking is that the Army do a search. How widespread is this type of training going on in the military? And secondly, that there be a public apology, particularly to all of those soldiers who received this training, and further, that a new brief about religious extremism be given that is correct information.
This training was given in Pennsylvania, and you said in Virginia as well. Do we have any idea how widespread it was?
We're still trying to track that down, Eric. We do know that this particular briefing took place at a unit. It's called a Theater Support Command Unit, and that's the very headquarters, the tip of the spear of a theater support group. And in that group, there are five brigades, and each brigade has battalions, and each battalion has companies. And I was told that this briefer spent all of last year traveling, giving this briefing to the subordinate commands underneath the 316th Theater Support Command. So we don't know how many times that briefing was given or in all of the locations it was given, but that's one of the things we're asking the Army to do, is to find out how widespread was this horrible, inaccurate material given out to military personnel.
It certainly fits the mold of marginalization of Christians. There's no doubt about that. And we see this as a pattern all around us today, don't we?
Absolutely. And this comes in the wake of the repeal a year and a half ago of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the military, where some evangelical chaplains were told, you've got to come in line or resign your commission. And so this just raises the stake of what we are concerned about those who represent evangelicals, chaplains as well as soldiers and military personnel, and how they're being viewed right now in our military.
This is a little off the topic, but it does fit along with the same theme. Are you familiar with the fact that in late 2011 that our military training manuals, Homeland Security, CIA, and FBI training manuals, in all of those manuals, any mention of Islam or any quotes from the Quran were expunged from them? Are you familiar with that?
Absolutely. And so it's like there's just an ironic turn of events that our military has been at war setting Muslim people free from particular bondages in Afghanistan and Iraq. And many good soldiers and military young men and women from across America who come from evangelical households, many who have suffered with wounds and some giving their lives, now evangelicals are being held up as extremists, while those of the Muslim faith are just like in a different category that they are not to be touched in any way or mentioned in a derogatory manner.
Well, a few months ago, we covered this story on Understanding the Times, and I've been on it ever since. And looking at it, just thinking how quickly the government seemed to act upon the demands, basically, of 57 Muslim organizations that wrote the same letter throughout the officials of our government. I have a copy of the letter from John Brennan, and we have that posted on our website as well. And it's shocking how fast our government acted on their demand to take any mention of Islam out of the training manuals. And now we have an Army Reserve trainer who is naming evangelical Christians, and may I say Muslim groups as well,
yes,
as terrorists. So, you know, this looks to me like a rogue operation. But how many of those there might have been? That's the question. We don't know. And I would say if any of our listeners out there know of other situations where this kind of thing has been presented in an official format in our military services, be great to contact Dr. Cruz. And once again, you can do that at chaplainalliance.org. And Ron, I do appreciate you spending the time with me today. Any final comments?
Well, the Chaplain Corps has existed since the time of George Washington, and our nation has seen fit to provide chaplains to ensure that all of our military personnel can exercise their religious liberties. We are concerned that the very fabric of what this country has been about, of making sure military personnel can worship God according to the dictates of their heart, are being infringed by several rogue trainers now, and we're wanting to know exactly how far this training goes and asking the Army to do a search and to put a stop to it. Thank you for your time, Eric.
Well, it's my pleasure. And once again, if any of our listeners know of any of these situations around the country, I do encourage you to contact Dr. Ron Cruz, chaplainalliance.org. And once again, Ron, thank you so much. God bless you and your organization. Let's do keep in touch.
Eric, thanks for your role in today's program. And again, that DVD is A Divorce from the Church, ericbarger.com or olivetreeviews.org. And we live in crazy and changing times, and even the church is changing. And so where is stability? The Bible, as written by Isaiah the prophet, says God is the stability of our times. Trust in Him, won't you? Don't look to the right or to the left. Keep your eyes on Him. He never changes. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
We are a more.
Keeping it honest and truthful, we are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Every day on our website, we post news headlines that help you define our times. OliveTreeViews.org.
You are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before You, blessing Your name.
If you're a first-time listener to this program, we would like to get better acquainted with you by offering you a free gift of one of our DVDs from last fall's Understanding the Times conference. For your free DVD, call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Understanding the Times Radio is a unique blend. It defines current events through a biblical worldview. This program is listener-supported. We depend on you to continue this program in your area. Would you consider becoming a ministry partner with us by praying for us? Would you stand with us with your tax-deductible gifts? Write to us at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or phone 763 559-4444.